Yo, what's going on? Thank you for tuning in to the MMA Podcast 204, June 7th, 2017. As always, a ton to break down. Just last weekend, we had that giant UFC 212 card from Rio de Janeiro in the Junicy Arena with Max Holloway taking the belt from Jose Aldo. Going to break down that whole exciting card. We also had a week in news, a little bit of fight announcements. War Machine sentenced to life, and a squabble between the UFC brass and Mighty Mouse about a fight against TJ Dillashaw. Going to talk about that. And, of course, this weekend's coming. UFC Fight Night 110 card, Lewis Hunt, a bunch of stuff. Let's do it. Woo!
Listening to the MMA Podcast.
Yeah, I guess I technically hit the post there, but it wasn't very clean. Thanks again for tuning in. TMP 204, June 7th. A ton to break down, as always, joined by Sweet Pappy Jones on Twitter. He also goes by P Money, coming from the deserts of Southern Cali. Pat, what's going on, dude?
Oh, Jake, we're just chillaxing on this beautiful, wonderful Wednesday out here in SoCal. Really enjoying the chance to get on this commemorative edition of the MMA Podcast with you. 5 years and one day in MMA history. A man known as Jake Walters and his buddy Chris Lowenstein, our buddy Chris Lowenstein, got this little shindig going, and I'm glad to be here commemorating that with you today, and breaking down the action and the latest in the MMA world.
Yeah, you know, we sort of stopped and slowed down and got a little misty-eyed for TMP 200 just a few weeks ago. So I don't want to pump the brakes too much, but you are right. It was June 6, 2012. Chris and I decided to start doing the podcast. You know, I started doing MMA at work. Shout out to Josh Webb and all of the folks over there. And, you know, I stopped doing that just because I was busy with school and work. And then I stumbled across, like, holy shit, themmapodcast.com is available. I got to purchase this domain. And I think I sat on it for almost a year. And then next thing you know, we're doing podcasts. I had my buddy Troy mock up a little logo that we've used since, and it's really been a lot of fun. And I've met a lot of cool people, and we have the train has just left this station, so to speak. I plan on doing this for another 5, 10, 15, 20, however many years. I still enjoy sitting around talking MMA with buds, and for the foreseeable future, that's not going to change anytime soon. So everyone who's called in, listened, been a part of it, like I've said in the past, there's really too many names to mention. You're all cool motherfuckers. And yeah, shit, let's get on to UFC 212. This was a very, very fun card. You know, I feel like there's almost a stigma around Brazil cards that you're going to see a lot of one-sided fights that are you know, scheduled in favor of the hometown Brazilian. You also get a lot of calls about judging, which I don't really think that's fair. You know, kind of the, not really, there's no direct rumors, but it's kind of like inside almost half accepted thing that the refs will score a close fight to the Brazilian just because the people there are so nationalistic. You know, they chant, "You're gonna die" at any non-Brazilian. I don't know if it's necessarily that. I think crowd noise, like I've said a million times before, has a huge impact on fights. And like we saw with the Vitor versus Nate fight, and a fight that's razor close, I'll always kind of give the favor to whoever's fighting in their backyard, which in this case was obviously Vitor, and Vitor ends up getting the decision 29-28. But let's start with the prelims like we usually do. Not gonna lie, I didn't watch the UFC Fight Pass prelims, but Vivian Pereira, Luan Chagas, and Davison Figueiredo getting wins. I think I saw a highlight from the Vivian Pereira Jamie Moyle fight. Both of them looked pretty good standing up. Yuri Alcantara gets upset, gets guillotine choked in the first round by Brian Kelleher. Don't really expect that out of a BJJ ace like Alcantara. Matthew Lopez defeats Johnny Eduardo via TKO. Shoeface gets a rear naked choke submission over Eric Spicely. And we were talking big on, or at least I was, about Marlon Moraes last week. Went up against stiff competition, and Rafael Asunciao was a close fight, was a split decision, but Rafael Asunciao gets the nod, breaks Marlon Moraes' 13-fight winning streak. So that was a little bit of a surprise there. I believe Moraes was the favorite, even though Asunciao has an impressive record of his own. So that was the prelims. What did you think about those before we move on to the pay-per-view fights?
Oh boy, the prelims had a lot of great action. I mean, finishes galore, some fun decisions, and yeah, my goodness, Davison Figueiredo over Marco Beltran. That was a solid fight. Davison landed a nasty, or opened up a very nasty cut on Marco Beltran. I think that was, and as well, he had Marco very badly hurt to close out the second round. The doctor, I'm not sure. I guess the referee waved it off in between rounds, and Marco wasn't able to answer the bell for the third round. So nice TKO there for Davidson. Luan Chagas, big submission over Judo Jim Wallhead. Bummed to see my boy Jim not picking up that UFCW, but good showing from Chagas there. And yeah, the women's strawweights, Perea and Moyle, they put on a good fight. Both a couple very scrappy young ladies. Solid action there. And great action on the Fox Sports 1 prelim portion of the card as well. As you mentioned, Kelleher with the upset over Alcantara. Lopez, I want to say, with another upset over there over Johnny Eduardo. I did not envision him TKOing Johnny Eduardo like that. Zapato, RNCing Spicely. And yeah, Asunciao versus Moraes. That was a fantastic fight. Both those guys, super high level at 135 pounds. Moraes, I mean, it was a split decision, close fight. I really don't think he lost a ton of stock. He hung in there tough with Asunciao for sure. And yeah, great set of prelims all the way around to start off UFC 212.
Yeah, and that that moved us into the pay-per-view, which, we started off with a very fun fight between Yancy Medeiros and Eric Silva. Both of them were throwing, both of them landing. They both had their moments, but I think the first round was Yancy's, and the second round he followed it up, gets the TKO over Eric Silva, which, think 5 years... years ago, the outlook on this guy was so much different. You know, he was this giant, jacked young dude from, I think he was from Rio or the Rio area or something. But from Brazil back 2011. The dude was 13-1. Since then, his record, he has only been able to win twice in a row once since 2011, taking losses to Carlo Prater, John Fitch, Dong Young Kim, Matt Brown, Neil Magny, Nordine Taleb, and now Yancy Medeiros. I mean, this guy kind of has become the gatekeeper of the welterweights. You know, he's He beats guys like Luan Chagas, who was his last fight before Yancey back last September in what was the fight of the night where he got a third round submission. You know, beats guys like Jason High, Mike Rhodes, and aging Josh Koscheck. But when he goes up against dudes like, you know, a Matt Brown or a Neil Magny, isn't able to collect the W here. So, yeah, classic kind of gatekeeper versus gatekeeper match between Yancey and Eric Silva. Yancey gets the better of him here. Who else? We had the young Paolo Borrachina, who he looks very, very impressive. I don't think he has a loss on his record yet. He's 10-0. This was his second fight in the UFC. Both of them finishes. Very interested to see who he gets after dispatching a very game Olawale Bambose, who, in my opinion, has the fucking most terrifying and coolest nickname in the UFC. The Holy War Angel. Fuck yeah, that's metal as shit. And I'll finish it off with Vitor Belfort and Nate Marquardt, and which was a very close fight. I think Nate won the first one pretty easily, was a lot more active. I think Belfort rallied back, won the third. The second round, I thought Nate controlled most of it, but Vitor had Nate in more trouble during one point of the second than Nate had him in trouble at any point during the second. So it kind of depends how much you weigh damage against just, you know, outpacing someone for most of a round there. But the unanimous decision ended up going to Vitor Belfort, 29-28, 29-28. Like I mentioned before, you know, crowd noise makes a big deal. I really think judges should be put in, like, a soundproof booth or room somewhere in the stadium, or even, like, I don't care if, like, I'm like, honestly, you probably would have a better view of the fight in a soundproof booth in, like, UFC HQ in Vegas, and you're, like, watching a live feed of the fight rather than looking up at an awkward angle from, like, mat level, trying to, like, see through the cage and see from your weird view what's going on, when honestly the better picture is what's going out to the sports bars and homes all over the world with the satellite feed. So yeah, I know it probably won't get changed, and I'm a very small voice, but man, it I think it would benefit just fairness to not have judges there with crowd noise, because whether or not, you know, you do it on purpose, when you see a kick land and everyone's quiet, and then you see the other guy land a kick and the crowd goes crazy, you are either consciously or subconsciously going to believe that the kick when everyone went crazy was a better kick, when in fact they were the exact same kick and the crowd was just going crazy for the hometown fighter. So that's my spiel on that, and I'm done ranting about those three fights. Pat, what did you think of the Yancey Borrachina? I love that name. And the Belfort victories, which we did discuss it before the podcast. I guess Vitor now has one more fight before left on his UFC contract. Before, I think, as Brendan Schaub put it, he goes to Japan to go fight for Risen and turn into Bane.
Yeah, you know what? Great fights to start off the pay-per-view as well. Really picked up right where the prelims left off. Nice back and forth with Yancey Medeiros and Eric Silva. A little bit of controversy there, I suppose. Some people thought the fight was stopped a little early with Medeiros versus Silva. Some thought that Silva could continue. Even Medeiros came out and said, yeah, I thought it was a little premature. I thought Silva could have kept going. Classy move by Medeiros, but, you know, hey, for myself, having picked Medeiros to win that fight, it's one of those ones, if I picked Silva, I'd probably be bitching about that a little bit, but you know, Medeiros won. I picked Medeiros, and you know, fighter safety. You know, we got to err on the side of fighter safety. It really, it's kind of like MMA judging, MMA officiating. It's one of those fine lines as well. You know, these guys? Oh man, they're fighters. They're fighters, man. Let them fight. You know. Well, at the same time, the referees are supposed to be there to protect the fighters because yeah, they're fighters and they're gonna go until they die. And it's the referee's job to make sure that it doesn't come to that. You know, this is a sporting event, not, you know, a fight for your life in a back alley somewhere. And the thought is you should be able to fight and compete another day. And, you know, I don't know if it's just because I picked Ole Yancey, but I was not too upset at the stoppage over Eric Silva there. Solid fight. And then, yeah, the Paulo Borrachina versus Olawale Bambose. I can't pronounce either of their names. But, man, that was a great fight. Big bombs, big action from the two middleweights. Great introduction to the UFC for Paulo. And Mr. Bambose, I don't think his stock really falls at all. I mean, and I'm sorry, Borrachino, I forgot he had a TKO Gareth McClellan just a couple months ago. So yeah, he's certainly starting off very hot in his UFC career, taking out a very tough Bambose in his just second fight. Great action there, and yeah, Belfort versus Marquardt. I could see that one going either way. It was a close one, good split. I don't know. I was not shocked to see Vitor get it. Probably should have been Marquardt, in my opinion. I know a lot of the MMA community saw it that way. The majority of MMA media. There was quite a few that saw it from Vitor, though. just the subjectivity in MMA, or really all of fight judging. You know, what are you looking for? You can have instances where you're winning by the letter of the book for 13 minutes of a 15-minute fight, but you know your opponent can land, you know, a couple shots in just a couple seconds that really equals more damage than, you know, a controlling opponent has been able to do for an entire round. So it kind of, you know, comes down to one of those things. Yeah, someone was controlling the fight, using air quotes, technically speaking, they were controlling the fight, but then, you know, and this person only had a couple moments of success, but, you know, when that equals to seemingly more damage or comes closer to ending a fight than anything the other person has done, you know, how do you judge that? I don't know. I thought it was a good fight, though. Vitor, be interesting to see. I for some reason, and we double-checked, I thought this was going to be his last fight. It'll be interesting to see if he does come back for another one, who he gets paired up against. And, yeah, definitely, some good scraps though on the, first three of the five for the, pay-per-view portion of the card.
And that brought us to, Claudia Gadelha versus Carolina Kowalkiewicz. Claudia Gadelha kind of just, further driving home that she is the number two at strawweight. Her first finish in her six-fight UFC career, she gets the first-round submission over Carolina, 3 minutes and 3 seconds in. It was a quick fight. Claudia, you know, says she wants another fight against Joanna, which would be a third. I guess that's the fight you make. I mean, who else are you going to throw in? I mean, Rose lost to Kowalkiewicz, who Claudia just beat, so that makes no sense. So I think you got to make that trilogy fight next, and hopefully Claudia can, just for parity's sake, get a win, and then we would probably see a fourth fight in what could end up turning into one of the, I guess, just, you know, going by the fact that it seems it seems like they're just destined to keep fighting each other over and over and over and over and over. And you don't see many rivalries go four fights, but this might be one that does, even though we haven't even had a formal announcement of the third one yet. What do you think about all that and the co-main event there?
That was a stunning co-main event for me. I mean, my goodness, I know I was certainly thinking that fight would go to a decision, whoever won that. And to have Gadea come out there and really just put it on Kowalkiewicz, I mean, really doing a little more MMA math, I guess. I probably should have foreseen that. I mean, the match between Kowalkiewicz and Jan Jacek was essentially just like a kickboxing match. Gadea, she implements a lot more of the takedown in the ground game. She has a more of a jiu-jitsu background to go to there. And, man, she really exploited that and put it on Kowalkiewicz. She had her hurt, was able to rough her up with the hands and get her down and choke her out. And just an amazing performance. Did in 3 minutes what Jan Jacek couldn't do in 25. And, in fact, Kowalkiewicz came closer to finishing Jan Jacek than the other way around. So, man, it was really just a great performance from Gadea. I really don't think – I mean, pretty much everybody conceded before, I would say, going into this fight, that Gadea was number one and Kowalkiewicz was number two in the division with the champ, Jan Jacek, sitting on top. But what you do with this division, I mean, so just a couple years into its inception, and we've already got a Demetrius Johnson type of situation where the top contenders for the weight class have already been beaten repeatedly. I mean, this was a great statement fight by Gadea, and she arguably did win the first fight with Jan Jacek. So certainly as far as MMA trilogies go, there's a great case for this one to be made, and it certainly seems like it will be. I could have sworn I had heard Gadea say she wants to do one more fight before she potentially gets a rematch with Jan Jacek. Again, kind of like we were talking about, I don't know, who do you match Gadea up with? And then who does Jan Jacek fight in the meantime? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with that division and that situation. But as far as the action went, man, it was a superb co-main event. Really, the ladies put it on.
They did, for sure. And it's nice to see a finish there at 115. Main event. Wow, this was an amazing fight, man. This was fight of the night, deservedly so. The performance bonus is going to Claudia and Brian Kelleher. Man, Aldo versus Max. Aldo, I think won the first round. I think he was quicker, getting in and out better. You mentioned, you know, we both said last week that the leg kicks were going to be key, and I think Aldo threw the leg kick once, which Holloway checked and countered with a 1-2, and he checked it so instead of really really slapping him, it just rode up his thigh. Aldo saw what Max's defense was once, and didn't fuck with it the rest of the night. And maybe that was a wise choice, because Max was obviously, you know, ready for the leg kicks and came in equipped to deal with them. Ends up rocking Jose with a left, and then just, you know, his pinpoint striking. Once Aldo was rocked, even though he did an excellent job trying to escape and move, Max Holloway was just landing with laser-like precision, rocking him. Man, this is a guy in Jose Aldo who we will for sure remember as one of the best ever. You know, the dude won how many fights in a row in the UFC? I mean, and in Zuffa too. If you count all of Zuffa, he went on a 15-fight winning streak before losing to Conor back at UFC 194. Like, that's incredible. I think the only person who's done better than that, I think Anderson's had 16. Just, you know, he's had an incredible career. He said, since the loss that he is going to pick and choose his fights from now on, and he only wants super fights. Before this fight and many times, expressed a strong desire to fight Conor again after their 13-second fight. It's like Max said, it's a new era. It's the blessed era. And I am very excited just because, you know, the, guy is saying, look, I'm not going to hold the whole weight class up begging for a money fight. I'm going to defend my throne as much as I can. And, you know what? I mean, quite frankly, that might not be the best thing to do fighter wise. You might get more money playing the selfish card like Conor, but it is very refreshing to see a dude who just wants to fight, just wants to scrap. The only thing it sounded like he was begging for when the fight was over was to get a fight in Hawaii for his first title defense. Whether that's up against Frankie Edgar, we'll talk about that in a second, I guess. But what did you make of that crazy main event fight where Jose Aldo yet again gets finished there? Now, after going, you know, it feels like after going 1,000-0 in the WEC and the UFC, he's now 1-2 in his last three. Crazy.
Wow, that's nuts. Never thought I'd see the day. Man, it seems like just yesterday he was dropping the crazy double knee bicycle flying knockouts against Cub Swanson and just destroying everybody in his path. And still, typically, that is what he does. But my goodness, you know, and I called for Jose Aldo to retain against Max Holloway. I'm not surprised it went the other way, though. Holloway, as young and talented as he is, with the physical tools that he has, all that he's been able to learn in the game, he has come so far, and he really does. He's one of those next generation type of fighters. You know, mixed martial arts has been around. The UFC made its debut. I mean, gosh, that was 23, 24 years ago almost. And it's come so far from the one discipline type of fighters. Not that Jose Aldo was that, but it's just really transformed to where, you know, Max Holloway literally is about as old as the sport of mixed martial arts. You know, he has the opportunity to grow and train in this, you know, when it's already come to such a point. And he's putting all the styles together, doing everything so well, really. We've seen him finish all of his opponents in almost every fashion you can imagine. And, you know, this really might be the beginning of the blessed era. The way he was able to shut down Jose Aldo, it was really a masterful performance. I mean, beating a guy who's been one of the very best in the sport for the past decade, the combos, the distance, everything was just fantastic by Max. And man, he's going to have a tough time. He's going to have a tough time, I should say the featherweight division is going to have a tough time trying to wrest the belt from him, unless Conor McGregor comes back. I mean, of course, Frankie Edgar and Max, seeing those two fight, that's got to be at the top of the list for the 145-pound division. But aside from that, man, if Max can get past Frankie Edgar, I don't know what 145-pounders will have a chance wrestling that belt from him, because he's doing everything phenomenally these days, and just a great job finishing off Jose Aldo.
You said it, man. It's and you know, we both did pick Aldo last week, but man, you know, that was in no way trying to discredit what tools Max has, but I'm still just sort of shocked that fight went the way it was. We now have two 25-year-old champions in Cody Garbrandt and Max Holloway. I believe Holloway is a few months younger, born at the very end of 1991 in Waianae, Hawaii. I'm sure I killed the pronunciation of that bitch. But yeah, I do hope we see a fight in Hawaii next. And who do you think you match up next against Max Holloway? The guy has fought a lot of featherweights on his way to the throne. His last loss, obviously, being to Conor back 2013. He actually lost the fight before that, too, at UFC 160 to Dennis Bermudez and has yet to avenge that loss. I don't have the fighter rankings in front of me, which I'm going to pull those up right here in a hot second because I do have a subscription to the internet. Let's see. Right now at featherweight, we got Holloway at the top. They have yet to update it. But below Aldo and Max, you got Frankie Edgar 2, Ricardo Lamas 3, Cub Swanson 4, Chan Sung Jung 5. There was, I think, going to be a fight between Lamas and Chan Sung Jung at UFC 214 that has since been scrapped. Zombie tearing both his ACL and MCL. So for a guy who had to take a giant time off due to military leave, no breaks for Chan Sung Jung. Fucks his knee up there. But I don't know, you have Lamas, I guess, who's now looking for a fight again. Frankie Edgar, both of those fights seem to make sense. They're both guys. Max did fight Lamas back at UFC 199. So, yeah, shit. Make Frank versus Max next. I think Frankie, for what he has done, especially just not just beating, but beating down a game, Yair Rodriguez, give him a title shot next. We haven't seen how Max can do against a super fucking crazy aggro wrestler like Frank Edgar. Who do you think's next for Max before we move on to the news here?
Yeah, it's really got to be Frankie Edgar, I think. I mean, Edgar usurped all that momentum that Yair Rodriguez had. Rodriguez, I want to say, had one of the better win streaks going in the featherweight division. So Edgar really gets to capitalize on that momentum. And, yeah, I think you put that fight on, you let these other guys get a chance to build some more momentum, build their case for a shot at the belt. And, yeah, that'll be a good scrap too. Not a hard one to sell, I would think.
Not at all there. So yeah, I guess let's get into the news. I got the clip here, so I may as well play it. What do we have in the news? I guess leading off, we have all this crazy shit with Mighty Mouse. A story posted today at 2 p.m. On Vice Sports Fightland. Demetrius Johnson is staging a goddamn revolution. There has been a lot of back and forth between Mighty Mouse and the UFC. All stemming from Cody Garbrandt's injury at UFC 213. Cody will not be able to defend his belt against TJ Dillashaw, and Dillashaw came up with the idea, well, if I can't fight for the 35-pound belt, the guy says he walks around at 142. He says, I could easily cut to 125, and wouldn't you know, the flyweight division is stale as fuck right now. Like, everyone... everyone has fought Mighty Mouse, and Mighty Mouse has beaten everyone down. Like, next in line is Ray Borg, but no offense to Ray Borg, but the dude's fifth and has a lot of losses against guys who have gone up against Mighty Mouse and gotten smashed. So I think 98 of 99 people would want to see Dillashaw, a former champion and a guy who was about to go up for the belt, fight Johnson rather than Ray Borg. So this starts to go through. Mighty Mouse in, you know, I want to believe the dude in how he's like trying to stand up for Borg and the flyweights and all that, but what it comes off as is cowardice. Like, and I really can't use that word when referring to a UFC fighter, because these dudes are, you know, fucking 10 times as brave as I'll ever be. So I use that word more as what people are portraying the move to be. It's not me calling him a coward in any way, but, you know, a lot of people think that he's sort of shying away against a fight against Dillashaw. And apparently they contacted Mighty Mouse, according to Johnson on the MMA Hour, saying that they gave him two options. It's either you fight Dillashaw or we close the flyweight division. And Johnson replied, close the motherfucking division then. So there are flyweights who currently don't know if they're going to be employed, if they have a job. I don't think they probably will close 125, but they're really, really, really trying to push Mighty Mouse to fight Dillashaw. You know, I kind of mentioned to you, Pat, before the show, I was like, I don't really like either side here. You know, I think Mighty Mouse should realize that a fight against Dillashaw is the best fight available and should, you know, be willing to fight him. At the same time, I think the UFC shouldn't be ramming fights down anyone else's throat, although they are business, and Dillashaw Johnson is going to sell way better than Borg Johnson. So there is that point as well. I don't know. What do you make of all of this? You know, I don't know which side to take here, because I don't like both of them, but what do you think about this?
Yeah, you know what? And I think, as you mentioned, really the most unfortunate part about all this is that really this whole thing just stems from the fact that Cody Garbrandt suffered an injury and was unable or is going to be unable to make his title defense against TJ Dillashaw. So because of this, the UFC gets a wild hair up their ass thinking, you know, well, and TJ Dillashaw not helping, saying, oh, I can make 125. How about I fight Mighty Mouse? And UFC being like, hey, that's a great idea. You know, DJ not being so keen to that. He does have valid points. I think really both sides have valid points, but then both sides kind of have shitty points as well. You know, DJ, he wanted, he said, oh, I'll take the fight, but I want, what do you say? He wants all of Dillashaw's show money if Dillashaw doesn't make weight. Which UFC said, no, we're not going to do that, even though Dillashaw said he was cool with that. Interesting there.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I have the quote right here from Dillashaw saying 100% put that stipulation in there. I'm not going to miss the weight. That's not something I'm worried about at all. I already got it down to a perfect science. So yeah, go ahead and put it in the contract because I'm not going to miss weight. And I don't see why the UFC isn't letting that fly if both fighters are down with it. Shit.
Right. If they're both willing to go, if they're both mutually agreeing to terms to make this fight happen, you know, then, I mean, make it happen, right? If that's the fight that the company wants done, and both of the fighters, sure, it may be unorthodox, but you would think Mighty Mouse, being the champion that he is, they would make a concession, especially if the other fighter has already stated, yeah, I'm 100% game for that, and also taking another shot to throw Borg under the bus, saying, hey, when was the last time your boy Borg made weight? He's been a little inconsistent on those scales. Myself, not so much. On point. All the time. So, he's, I don't know. It's very interesting. A lot of people say, you know, Mighty Mouse, he wants that defense against Borg. He wants to get that defense against Borg so that he can, you know, get 11 defenses and break Anderson's record. And, you know, some people would say he knows that Dillashaw's the harder out, for sure, in this one. There's just so much more you have to contend with. Not to say anything about Borg. Borg's a fantastic flyweight. He's got a great skill set, great fighter himself. You know, and styles make fights. Who knows? Anybody could give the champ a run for his money, right? I mean, you got to put him in the ring before you know what's going to happen. Look at TJ Dillashaw versus Hannah Burrell. TJ Dillashaw was one of the biggest underdogs that we had ever seen going into a fight with a champion. No one was giving him a shot against Burrell, really. Only very few people were. And look at how that turned out. So you never know. It may seem like a crazy long shot, but you got to make the fights before you know how it's going to shake out. So I don't know, man. I could really see both sides arguments of this, and it just sucks that we're even having this debate just because of Garbrandt's injury making this his fight against Dillashaw in an impossibility. But for the UFC to threaten to shut down an entire division. Shitty move. I don't know. I say both these fighters are agreeing to terms. UFC doesn't want to do it, but if you want that fight so bad, just agree to the terms that the fighters themselves had said they want.
Yeah, it seems simple enough to me, but I don't know. We will see how that progresses over the next week or so. War Machine, prison to life with possibility of parole after 36 years, and I think that would put him at like 70-something for beating up and I guess almost killing former girlfriend Christy Mack. That's gotten, I guess, enough publicity. I really have no further comment, you know, other than, you know, shit. Good for him. I hope he enjoys life in prison. Don't fucking be an asshole. Don't hit women.
Straight up victory for the justice system.
That's right.
God bless Christy Mack. Hopefully, you know, hopefully that helps bring her some ease and peace.
That's right. What else? Alan Jouban out of UFC 213, unfortunately. What else? Looks like Bellator 182 will be headlined by Koreshkov and Chidi Njikwani. Also, we get Ward versus Gonzalez and AJ McKee to appear on that card. So that's it looks pretty good for a smaller Bellator show there. Bellator 182, I guess, going to be August 25th at the Turning Stone Resort and Casino in New York. Koreshkov versus Njikwani, Ward versus Gonzalez. That's about all the news I got. I didn't really see anything else. It wasn't too busy. Usually things kind of slow down around a pay-per-view weekend, and everything kind of focuses on that. And of course, you know, your big news of the week being Max Holloway, your new featherweight champion. It feels kind of like the end of an era. I feel like Aldo sort of was the last of that era back when we had, you know, like GSP, Anderson, who else? Kane, Aldo. I think Frankie was the champ. Cruz was the champ. Back way back there in the day. But yeah, it's congrats to Max, who's 25. I mean, you know, the guy's only going to get better and better. It'll be very interesting to see how long he holds on to the belt, and you know, is able to hold the strap for. UFC Fight Night 110. It's going to be at a weird hour because they're doing it in Auckland, New Zealand, and they're catering to their time zone rather than ours. So I think for them it's going to be like a Sunday evening card. But for they are doing it. Okay, cool. Never mind. I eat all the words I just said. They are fucking the Australians over, and I guess doing it like weird hours in the morning on Sunday. I think they're doing that for an upcoming card, maybe Holm versus Kohea. But no, it'll be normal hours for us. It'll be the main card starting at 10 p.m., the prelims starting at 8, even though the card's going down in Auckland, New Zealand. Yeah, let's talk about this card. Really not that much to talk about, sans the main event, so we can kind of lump the whole rest of the card up in one. Guys who are familiar, John Moraga fighting Ashkan Mokhtarian, a dude I've never heard of. John Moraga, only minus 160, so this Ashkan guy must be a pretty good up-and-comer. Tim Elliott, who recently, I think, fought Mighty Mouse, minus 225 against Ben Wynn. You got Dan Hooker and Ross Pearson. Derek Brunson, Dan Kelly is your co-main event. Derek Brunson, a big favorite, minus 270 against the Aussie middleweight Dan Kelly right there. Any fights standing out to you? I know there are going to be some bangers, but to be honest, I don't know. None really jump out to me. We have the lesser known Dong Young Kim fighting on the prelims against Tybalt Gouldie with even odds.
Yeah, you know, as far as the prelim portion, John Moraga versus Ashkan Mokhtarian, that's I'm kind of surprised that's not the featured bout on the preliminary card for Fox Sports 1. Although Vince Pichel, he's got two wins in a row. He hasn't fought in over 3 years in the UFC. He beat Anthony Njigawani May 24th, 2014. He beat Garrett Whiteley just a couple months prior to that. But very interesting to see him in the featured bout on the prelim portion. Should be some good scraps though. Overall, Dominic Steele versus Luke Jumo should be a good one. Kishi Kunimoto versus Zach Otto. I like that scrap at 170 pounds. Again, kind of standard fare for the international cards. Maybe not the biggest name recognition, but some good matchmaking overall should serve for some good bouts.
Hell yeah, and I guess that brings us to our last topic of the evening, Derek Lewis and Mark Hunt. A couple of bangers. You got Derek Lewis, younger up-and-comer. He's 32, which is young for the heavyweight division, and the Black Beast is on a 6-fight winning streak, beating Victor Pesta, Damian Grabowski, Gabriel Gonzalez, Roy Nelson, Shamil Abdurakhimov, and Travis Brown. All those by KO or TKO, except for the Roy Nelson fight. His last win, the KO against Travis Brown, was really the shining jewel, especially after he got on the mic and started talking about Ronda Rousey when the fight was over. He's going up against Mark Hunt, who his last 6 fights haven't been as pretty. In fact, he's 2-3. He's 3-1 no contest. Because of the Brock Lesnar fight that was overturned after Lesnar tested positive for clomiphene when the fight was over. So yeah, he's taken some L's. He lost to Stipe Miocic, lost to Alistair Overeem. The wins came against Frank Mir and Antonio Silva. Both of them were KOs. So you know, the guy always has that chance to finish a fight. But Lewis, I think, has just as much power. This is just, I mean, two absolute KO power monsters. It's going to be a fun fight. I am slightly leaning toward Derek Lewis, just like Vegas is. Vegas is minus 130, and I think I'm going to pick the Black Beast to get another win here. I think it's going to come down to who has the better chin. And last time I checked, Derek Lewis, although he has lost a couple fights via KO, he hasn't lost as recently, like earlier this year. Mark Hunt lost via KO to Alistair Overeem. So I'll take Derek Lewis via knockout in this one. Who you got before we send this one out?
Man, well, you know, for me, heavyweight, I always say that's one of my least favorite divisions to pick. I mean, anything could happen at any time with those guys in those small gloves. I mean, kind of cliche to say, but I feel it holds especially true for the heavyweight division. But Mark Hunt, really, he's just one of the best technical strikers that the UFC has ever seen. And striking is Derek Lewis's game. And I don't know if he really wants to play that game with old Mark Hunt. I mean, sure, Mark Hunt has been TKO'd, but again, by Alistair Overeem. Who didn't fight Alistair Overeem and get knocked the fuck out? Everybody. That's you're in a very rare class if you fought Alistair Overeem and didn't get knocked out. Certainly, no shame in that. And I would dare say, you know, Mark Hunt, I mean, it was only very recently that anyone would ever entertain the notion that Mark Hunt could be knocked out. His chin has held up quite valiantly through many wars, and I think it's still got some miles left in it. I mean, hey, it was a third round TKO against Alistair Overeem at that. Granted, Derek Lewis, he's got a lot of momentum, 6-fight win streak. And the power that he does possess is crazy. I mean, if anybody can match Mark Hunt's freakish power, you think it's got to be Derek Lewis. Tough fight for me to call. Gee whiz, I could see this one going either way. I would hate to be wrong on another main event, but damn it, Jake, I'm picking Mark Hunt in this one. I think the Super Samoan is just too crafty, and I'm looking at the one fight that Derek Lewis wasn't able to finish against Roy Nelson, a man of similar stature to Mark Hunt. Mark Hunt was able to knock out Roy Nelson fairly swiftly. And although MMA math is quite suspect, based on that alone and Mark Hunt's just veteran legend career, I think the Super Samoan has a nice KO left in him for Saturday night. I'm picking him over Derek Lewis.
Saturday night, Fox Sports 1. The main card starts at 10. I got Derek Lewis. P-Money has Mark Hunt. We will see who takes it. And I think that's it for the MMA Podcast 204. Thanks again for tuning in. Pat, you got anything for the people before we leave them? Twitter, Sweet Pappy Jones, the MMA Podcast.
Oh, man, nothing but love for the people, as always, Jake. Nothing but love for my homie. 5 years in a day. 5 years in a day, the Easy. MMA Podcast. God bless. I remember, you know, shouts out to Ray and Jay in the UK. I was doing an MMA mental
yes.
with Ray. And you he said, right. mate, he said, mate, my buddy Jake Walters, you remember Jake Walters started the MMA Podcast? I said, that, the MMA Podcast? I said, that shit was available. That man's a freaking genius. Well, it's been going strong ever since. And appreciate you bringing me into the fold from the days when we would collab together on the MMA Podcast Roundtable to you bringing me into to co-host with you. It's been a fun time, a fun ride. Shouts out to everybody from along the way. Much love to everybody.
And if you want to get down with a beer with me and possibly Pat, I think we will be in Vegas for that UFC 213 card. Come over to the MGM Grand, get a cold beer. Please don't like try any like weird shit, like try and like fuck me or kill me or anything. Not down with that, but I'm down for
Please,
a cold
no.
beer at the MGM. We appreciate the shit out of everyone listening. We love the shit out of each and every one of you. Keep your nose to the grindstone. Stay healthy. Until next week, we...
Tune into the MMA Podcast every Tuesday night.
My God, yo.
Act the wild style. Always been a foul child.
Will I, sucker? I'll be the coming yeah. like Noah.
The MMA Podcast, Jake is the host, and since Ramsey's been in a wheelchair, the Aunt Jimmy Show has been on a roll. I wanna say John Jones is a hoe, so I think that I'll pick up the phone and dial 213-457-3380. We got hot takes on the show. You get blood on your clothes if you're sitting in the front row. I throw on my gi and then I lace the hoops. I'll have Gal lying down cause he ain't the truth. And if Alan wasn't a cop, I'd mention
mention you. And shout out to Ross Finkelstein, the Jew. Cause according to you, you're an MMA guru. A Rube Bisping lost his hands, Count Dooku. If you're a fancy boy, you get a 2-minute slot. Mr. Reed wants a title shot. So listen to the MMA podcast. Throw a high kick, but I flock that. Call me Diaz, screaming George, where you at? I want the strap. But you know that I'll never tap. So listen to the MMA podcast. Throw a high kick, but I flock that. Call me Diaz, screaming George, where you at? I want the strap. And you know that I won't tap. Mystery. The MMA podcast. Most of us just live and breathe this fighting shit.
Shut up, Jake. Shut up, Jake.